It is such a joy to be with you this morning, and we are going to receive communion. Communion is such a special part of what we do as believers. I don't want you to turn with me in your Bibles. If you have one, we can look on the screen as well, but John chapter 1, verse 1. You know, we're here to celebrate Christmas. This is the time when we are celebrating the Son of the living God, born as a man in Bethlehem unto a virgin, the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sins of the world and reconcile us to God. Amen. Amen. It is not just a story. It is a reality in our lives. And I know and believe that many, if not most, if not all, that are in this place this morning have professed faith in Jesus Christ and have receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If not, you can do that this morning. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read this passage of Scripture, and I want you to let these words really sink in what's being said here, because this is probably one of the places that we get the most revelation about who Jesus is and was and why he came into the earth. John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." How many know that's still true today? That light is still shining. There's a lot of darkness. A lot of darkness right now in our world. But the light of God is still shining. Amen. And that light, it says, has not been overcome. But look at verse 4. It says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." That Zoe life of God is our guide. It is what points us to God, and that's the life of Jesus. Verse 9, it says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and even though the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Isn't that powerful? And this is the beautiful story of Christmas, is that God became man. He came to earth in human form to reconcile us back to God. He died the death that we should have died. He paid the price that we should have paid. He was buried, and then he was resurrected 3 days later by the power of God. All of this he did for us. He came, the Bible says, we just read in John 1, he came to be a light to the world, which was to point the direction to God, to give us the right path to God. And then when he left, he said that now you are the light of the world, because we're carrying that light. Each of us are carrying that light in us. Amen. So today, that's what we're celebrating. One of the greatest revelations of the New Testament is not only that Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected. A lot of people know that. But one of the greatest revelations of the New Testament is that if you're a believer, you were crucified, buried, and resurrected. This is why Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me." It's one of the reasons why we celebrate baptism. You know, baptism is actually not a celebration of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus only. Really, baptism is the celebration of the death, burial, and resurrection of the individual that's being baptized. That person is being crucified, buried, and raised to new life. And Jesus is the one that gave us that symbol. So, you know, when we celebrate Christmas, there's an element that the whole world celebrates, you know, or I should say many celebrate, and they celebrate what I would call like the facts of Christmas. You know, oh, Jesus was a good teacher. He was born of a virgin. He was born in Bethlehem. There were the, you know, the star that guided the three wise men, and we tell the whole, and the angel appeared to the shepherds, and they know the facts of Christmas. But how many of you know that the facts that could be seen on the surface, that's actually not the most powerful part of Christmas? The most powerful part of Christmas is what was happening behind the scenes in the spiritual world that man could not see with his physical eyes. And so when we celebrate as believers, it's not just, oh, the cute little baby in the manger with hay. That's beautiful. It's awesome. It's a great story. But without the death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, all of that would mean nothing. And so, yes, we're thankful that he was born, and we celebrate that today. But it was his death on the cross that changed everything. I often am, amused when I hear stories, read stories in history, or maybe see movies or TV shows or cartoons that, you know, somehow talk about people searching for and looking for eternal life, you know, and in that, and they're usually looking for like a well that if they drink from it, they'll get eternal life, you know. Or if you've ever seen Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, you know, they have the Holy Grail, and if they could just drink from the Holy Grail, then they're going to have eternal life. And they're like fighting each other and trying to kill each other for what? Eternal life. And you watch that and you think, and everybody thinks about how great that would be if you could just live forever. But I think to myself, Christians have already found that. And it's not a fairy tale. Eternal life is a reality for every person that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And you say, well, you know, I know, but we're here to celebrate Christmas. Yeah, but it's all connected. It's all connected. We celebrate Christmas because of the greater truths and the greater reality that happened afterwards. Amen? So today, we're going to receive communion. It's just a way to honor that and point to all that Christ has done. Of course, when we receive the elements today, the bread represents the body of Christ. The juice represents the blood of Jesus Christ. Communion, the scripture teaches us, is for believers only. It's for those that have already made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. They've already been born again, as the Bible talks about. And we are professing that as we receive communion, we are professing that. Now, what I love about this service is that we get to do it together as family. So it's not just an individual saying that over their life. We're coming together as families and saying, hey, for this family, yes, Jesus will be Lord. Amen. Yes. For this family, we will follow God. And that's scriptural too. You know, you see that in instances in scripture, like with Cornelius, when he was saved and he accepted Christ in the book of Acts, whenever Peter came and preached, it says that he and his whole household were baptized. They did it together, right? I'm not sure some of them had a choice. It's like, you live here, you're getting baptized. But they did it together as a family. And that's what I love about this morning, is it's a whole family saying, hey, I'm not just doing this by myself or going on this path alone, but our family is going to live for God. Our family is going to put Jesus Christ first. And I think for those that are young in here even, and, you know, young enough maybe to understand that you have a responsibility to carry on that tradition for your family, because one day you are going to be the dad or the mom carrying on the faith of Christ that your family is upholding today. So let's think about that as we receive communion today. Amen? Praise God. Now, just a few instructions as we receive communion. We do want, if you have young children that you feel like, you know, it's going to be hard for them to sit through everybody taking communion, we want to invite you first to come down in just a moment when we stand. We want to get you first in line. And any elderly people, if you have any reason at all why you cannot stand for a long period of time and you want to come forward and get in line first, we want to invite you down first. So in just a moment when we have everybody stand, if that's you, you can just make your way out in the aisle and go ahead and come down. We're going to form two lines along these aisles here to my left and right. Pastor Brandon and Jamie will lead communion on this side. Jen and I will lead communion on this side. And after you receive communion, if you would just exit out towards the wall on each side and make your way out into the foyer. At that point, the service is concluded for you. And we do ask that out of respect for everybody else, please do not hang out in the foyer, but go ahead and exit the doors, the exterior doors, because those doors are going to be opening, letting people out, and we don't want a lot of noise coming back in here. We want to respect and be reverent of what's taking place in here. So once you have received communion, you are dismissed and finished today with your service. Let's see if I got everything. Oh, after we start the lines with the, as I mentioned, the young and elderly, those that would like to come down first, after that, we will begin receiving communion from the back of the sanctuary. So if you're on the very back row, we're just going to funnel forward like that. So if you sat up close today, good job, but you're going to be here just a hair longer than everybody else, so that's okay. It's a great day to celebrate, so let's not be in a rush. Amen. Go ahead and stand with me on your feet. And also, don't feel bad if you need to sit down, and that's fine. We're going to continue to play some worship music as we receive communion and everything. And if you need to sit down, that's perfectly fine. No problem at all. But let's pray together. Father, thank you for this beautiful day. God, thank you for all of these, your sons and daughters that are gathered here today to celebrate Christmas and to celebrate the birth of our Savior. God, I appreciate them showing up and being here to honor you. And I pray today as we receive communion that, Lord, we'd receive that blessing that comes along with proclaiming the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you, we honor you, and we pray together today that this service and this time would bless you, Lord, and bless your name. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said, amen. Praise God. So if that's you with young children, or if you need to come down early, go ahead and step out in the aisle, and please make your way right down to the front. You can stop at the first row, and then we will call you forward as you as we're ready for you. So go ahead and make your way down if that's you. Once everybody that is going to do that has, then again, from the back row, you can go ahead and fill in those spots back there. Marty and security guys, we may need some help just with people if they need, you know, getting into the rows and everything like that. So just pay attention and help us with that. Thank you.